This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. We just heard about the business side of the Don Imus debate. Coming up, NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates will explore a more personal side in the black community.
First, a bit of background on the man at the center of this. Day to Day's Steve Proffitt has this profile of Don Imus, and a quick warning, you will hear language that some may find offensive.
Imus. At its root, it means lowest in Latin. And while Don Imus has never been shy about employing low humor, his distinction as a shock jock comes in his ability to attract politicians and journalists who sometimes show off their softer, funnier side.
How do you feel about doing your old bus terminal recitation?
I'll be delighted.
Let me hear it.
May I have your attention, please? This is your last call for Continental Trailways, 5:10 p.m., Silversides air conditioned, through liner to Houston.
That's the NewsHour's Jim Lehrer in a typical Imus moment. But Don Imus is just as likely to insult a guest as in this exchange with then-U.S. Senator Rick Santorum.
Senator Santorum, what are you drinking this morning? I'm talking about Bob Woodward's book in Iraq.
But you were talking about my book.
No, I wasn't talking about your dopey book.
Oh, I thought you said my book when I was in denial
no,
of my book.
No, you got to pay attention.
John Donald Imus was born in Riverside, California in 1940. Imus served as a Marine in the late 1950s and then held a series of odd jobs, including an unsuccessful stint with his brother Fred as a musician. In the late 1960s, he finally found success as a disc jockey. Employing his trademark insult humor, he worked his way up to larger markets and by 1971 had made it to New York as morning host at the flagship station WNBC. Imus in the Morning quickly became something of a phenomenon, and along with a cast of characters, he created a genre that would become known as shock radio.
It plays as a sometimes juvenile speech at the level of, say, Mad Magazine.
That's New York Times columnist and frequent Imus guest Frank Rich. As Imus found success in the 1970s, he also developed addictions to alcohol and cocaine. WNBC fired him in 1977, then brought him back 2 years later after he'd convinced them he'd cleaned up his act. Later, the station hired another up-and-coming shock jock, Howard Stern. Imus occasionally joined Stern on the air.
I thought that what you were doing was a public service, isn't that what I said?
Yeah. That's what you said. You defended him. Yeah. You defended him.
Thank you, Imus.
It's very nice of you. I think some of the things you do are scummy. Well, I think you're scummy, but I still like you.
Imus may have been ribbing Howard Stern then, but their relationship soon fractured into a full-scale feud which continues until this day. In the 1980s, Imus returned to drugs and alcohol, and in 1987 he entered a rehab program and says he's been sober ever since. After that rehab experience, Imus began mixing more politics into his program, which is now syndicated on stations across the country and simulcast on MSNBC. But charges of racism have swirled around Imus for years. In a 60 Minutes profile that aired in 1998, Mike Wallace confronted Imus about the use of a highly offensive racial epithet.
You told Tom Anderson, the producer, in your car coming home, that Bernard McGurk is there to do nigger jokes.
Well, I never used that word.
Tom?
Did I use that word?
I recall you using that word.
Oh, okay, well then I used that word.
Despite evidence like this, Imus maintains that he's not a racist. Whatever his attitudes, his program has been a huge moneymaker. His ratings on MSNBC have soared recently, up some 36% over last year's numbers. Steve Proffitt, NPR News.
And I'm Karen Grigsby Bates. As you just heard, Don Imus is known for being provocative to the point of vulgarity, but many feel his recent comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team went over the line.
That's some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
On the patio of Jamba Juice at the Ladera Shopping Center near the airport, Malika Daniels, a California DMV employee, says the nappy part of Imus's crack didn't bother her at all. Daniels says plenty of ethnic white folks have frizzy, nappy hair, but Imus's designation of the ladies as hoes, that was another matter.
I didn't really think of it as being a racial slur. I thought it was disrespectful as a whole to women in general.
So you don't take it as a personal insult?
No, I don't take it as a personal insult.
Realtor Penny Williams was also in line for a fruit smoothie. She thought Imus's comments attracted more attention than they otherwise would have because of his race.
I think we've been desensitized with regard to a lot of the things that we hear these days, because we hear so much of it
that we just kind of like blow it off. But, you know, when a white person says it, you know, it's like a big deal.
Williams says Imus may have been desensitized, too, by music like this hit from Nate Dogg.
I've got holes. I've got holes. In different area codes. Area codes. Holes, holes.
So for this man to make those comments, he feels comfortable in saying it because of what he's hearing with regard to how, you know, we talk amongst ourselves or how what we hear on the radio. And, you know, he just said it.
Nobody gave him permission. But then on the other hand, if we look at the hip-hop generation who colloquialized this word, maybe we did give him permission, but it's too damn familiar. He can't cross that boundary. He ought to know better.
That's Nona Cohen in her offices at the Body Clinic. It's a spa she owns in West L.A., and a large part of the clientele is black women. Cohen says she heard Imus's off-the-cuff comments while she was listening to the radio as she was putting off getting up. His remarks startled her into being fully awake.
It just went right to my heart. I mean, I was lying down and I sat up and I said, oh, no. I couldn't believe that he would say such a thing.
Many black women's distress over Imus's comments are about more than his remarks about the Rutgers team, says Gail Elizabeth Wyatt. A psychologist and professor at UCLA, Wyatt says Imus's remarks about the athlete's looks, from hair to body ornamentation, indicate something else.
To connect sexual promiscuity with what he perceived to be an undesirable look says that black women are not attractive, they're not appropriate, and their sexuality is always hanging out there.
Whether it is or not. Wyatt says, like the Rutgers athletes, she too has experienced the sting of assumptions that are both sexist and racist. Once, as a young wife and mother, she was waiting, dressed in her fanciest outfit, for her family to join her in the lobby of a hotel where they were all staying.
We were leaving for a wedding, and so I thought that I was dressed appropriately and that I looked beautiful. I certainly felt beautiful. And two white men walked by, and one of them said, I wonder, she must cost $100. And in those days, that was a lot of money. And they laughed and walked on.
Wyatt says the humiliation of being taken for a sex worker traumatized her for years afterward. She is deeply convinced that slurs that attack their humanity and femininity can catapult even successful, secure black women back to moments when they felt belittled and objectified.
These experiences don't go away, and I think that none of these statements are appropriate. There is no excuse for this kind of denigration.
Don Imus's employers agree. He's being suspended for 2 weeks for his remarks. But Nona Cohen says that's not enough. She hopes he'll be fired.
He has the right to say that. Yes, he does have the right, but he has a responsibility not to say it, and that's what bugged me.
Imus says starting Monday, he'll serve his 2 weeks with dignity and return to the air an enlightened man. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.